RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome to our English Bulletin program. In today's edition, we present you the news. News from across the country, today in history, highlight of the week, and news in brief. We will continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. Then we will end our program with Listener's Mailbag. That's our program for today, listener. And now let's stand by with the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Another victim in Jakarta attack dies, death toll reaches 8. Indonesian National Police asks immigration to ban WNI in Syria from returning. Now the news in detail. Rais Karna, 37 years old, an office boy at Bangkok Bank in central Jakarta, who was among the victims of the terrorist attacks on Jalan MH Tamrin on Thursday, finally died at Abdi Waluyo Hospital on Saturday. Head of the Public Relations Division of the Jakarta Police, Commissioner Sergeant M. Iqbal, confirmed the information in Jakarta on Sunday. It is reported that the body will be taken to his family's house on Jalan Kampung Pleret 66, Citayam, Bojonggede, Bogor. Rais was one of the victims in the attacks. He sustained a bullet wound on the left temple of the head. He was then taken to Abdi Waluyo Hospital for treatment. With his death, the total death toll in the attacks reached 8 people, with 7 people died on the spot. Aftermath of the terror and violence in Jakarta recently, Chairman of Muhammadiyah Haidar Nasir to RRI World Service in Jakarta on Sunday said Indonesian Muslims should unite to increase alertness and run activities as usual. Haidar said Indonesian government must reveal the cases that have been detrimental to the Indonesian nations.
Kepolisian dengan berbagai perangkat yang dimiliki negara termasuk BIN untuk mengusut tuntas kasus ini dengan motif dan pelakunya.
Police with the state devices including the state intelligence agency BIN must investigate the cases including the motif and perpetrators objectively and professionally. Muslims are expected to remain vigilant in carrying out their lives as it should be. Islamic propaganda is also being developed and dialogue with various groups should also be improved. I'm sure Indonesian people and the Muslims will not lose their optimism to run life well. We hope still doing activities to improve the quality of life so that Muslims have high competitiveness and the Indonesian nation will move forward. Moreover, Haidar Nasir said the Indonesian Muslims in general are moderate Muslims, peaceful, tolerant, and uphold the universal values of goodness. They hold main mission of presenting Islam in peace. Related to the Christian terror acts in Jakarta, according to Haidar, Indonesian Muslims denounce and condemn the perpetrators of the bombing that harmed the unitary state of the Republic of Indonesia. Chief of the Indonesian National Police General Badruddin Haiti has asked Directorate General of Immigration to ban Indonesian nationals or WNI in Syria who are proven to be members of the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria or ISIS from returning to Indonesia, Badruddin said in Jakarta on Saturday. According to the data from the National Police, Badruddin said that there are as many as 308 Indonesian nationals who are now in Syria. Nevertheless, he said not all Indonesian nationals in Syria are members of ISIS. However, he added, not all of them are involved in ISIS. Some stay in Syria temporarily. A piracy suspect has lost her pre-trial challenge against her arrest by the Navy's Western Fleet, or Armabar. Armabar spokesperson, Lieutenant Colonel Ariris, told the press, the South Jakarta District Court had rejected the pre-trial petition filed by Eva Nobensia, who had challenged Armabar's authority to investigate maritime crime. Eva is the owner of the Charisma 9, which was allegedly used to hijack the tanker Joachim in the Malacca Strait in August last year. It is alleged that the crew of the Charisma 9 stole 2,900 tons of light crude oil from the Joachim. Ariris said, according to the suit, only the police had the authority to investigate the case, not the military. The South Jakarta District Court, in its ruling, however, decided that the Navy had the right to investigate any cases related to crimes at sea. Armabar's intelligence assistant, Colonel Irawan, said that based on Law No. 34-2004 on the Indonesian military TNI, the Navy has the authority to investigate certain maritime crimes and to name someone a suspect. The much-anticipated light rail transit LRT project is in limbo once more after the city administration decided to hold groundbreaking work indefinitely. Jakarta Governor Basuki Ahok Cahyapurnama said after a meeting at the State Palace on the high-speed rail project between Jakarta and Bandung recently that he had decided to postpone the project. He told reporters that in June or July, the central government will construct the high-speed rail project. Ahok added that he did not want the city to become overwhelmed with projects that would unduly burden commuters. The high-speed rail project proposed by PT Kereta Api Cepat Indonesia China, or KCIC, will span 142 kilometers. The government has agreed to build four stations along the route, namely Halim, Karawang, Walini, and Tegaluar, in addition to a facility outside Tegaluar. The groundbreaking for the high-speed rail project is slated for January 21st. Ahok said that the LRT was designed to feed transportation, while the city's transportation backbone would be the Mass Rapid Transit MRT project presently under construction. Governor Ahok said the city should finish the MRT project while planning for the LRT. The last item, the weather phenomenon known as La Nina, which usually triggers heavy rains in the country, is expected to start in September this year, according to the Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency, BMKG. BMKG spokesperson Mulyono Prabowo said, escorted by Antara, the agency, however, expected that 2016 La Nina would be mild, although it could have the potential to trigger flooding in urban areas such as Jakarta. He said southern Jakarta will experience heavy precipitation and it will affect central Jakarta. Late last year, the country experienced El Nino, a weather phenomenon related to the eastward drift of warm water in the Pacific Ocean, and it was considered to be the most severe since 1997. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Another victim in Jakarta attack dies, death toll reaches 8. Indonesian National Police asks immigration to ban WNI in Syria from returning. That was the news.
Listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, welcome back with me, Rahma, in our weekly segment, News from Across the Country, which presents you various interesting events from across the country during the week. Listener, the first news comes from Pangandaran, West Java. Chimerak Horse Race Arena in Pangandaran Regency will become a new tourism destination in Priangan Timur. Pangandaran Acting Regent Daud Ahmad said that horse race is a tradition in the area that will be awakened again. Representative race arena facilities will become tourism attraction and calendar there. Stage location on the seashore gives exotic atmosphere to horse race arena, which will host the 19 National Games or PON in 2016.
According to Daud, the location is close to Pangandaran Tourism Object and Madasari Exotic Beach in Cimarac District. This object is expected to encourage people's economic improvement. The next news comes from Bogor, West Java. Bogor City Administration, West Java, will have more thematic parks to support City of 1 Million Parks by building Culinary Park and Selfie Park in 2016, precisely in Lapangan Sempur. Bogor Mayor Bima Arya Sugiarto said last Sunday, Culinary Park in Lapangan Sempur is a program that has been addressed since a year ago with Bank Syariah Mandiri that will fund Halal Culinary Center construction. The location of Culinary Park is next to Skate Park. This location is considered so strategic because it is flocked by people, especially on Car Free Day. The park is also built for culinary center by some traders. In addition, its position, which is close to Ciliwung River, will bring beautiful natural view, seeing Sempur Bridge inherited by the Dutch, accompanied with the sound of river flow. According to plan, Culinary Park provides 22 trader kiosks that will serve qualified, clean, and affordable food for all people. Not far from the Culinary Park, according to Bima, there will be Selfie Corner, a space for people in the city of Bogor for taking selfie with the city background. Culinary Park and Selfie Park will add more thematic parks in Bogor. In 2015, Bogor City Administration has built 49 parks. 15 of them are thematic parks. The last news comes from Mukomuko, Bengkulu, Sumatera. Production Forest Management Unit Office of Mukomuko Regency, Bengkulu Province, runs micro hydro power plant to give lights to people in forest village in the region that has not got power network from the state power company or PLN. Head of Production Forest Management Unit Office of Mukomuko Regency, Jasmine Sinaga, said in Mukomuko last Tuesday that in the village there is 100-meter high waterfall to boost dynamo to produce electricity power. However, the unit office has not made survey on the potential of the waterfall as a power plant. According to him, the micro hydro power plant will not only benefit people, but also keep forests in the area. It is because there is an access for the agency's officers to do security patrol in the forest area. Well, listeners, that ends news from across the country, from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Rahma. Thanks for listening.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with 1948, the Renville Agreement is ratified. The Renville Agreement was a United Nations Security Council brokered political accord between the Netherlands, who were seeking to re-establish their colony in Southeast Asia, especially in Indonesia, and Indonesian Republicans seeking to secure Indonesian independence during the Indonesian National Revolution. Ratified on January 17, 1948, the agreement was an unsuccessful attempt to resolve the disputes that arose following the 1946 Linggajati Agreement. It recognized a ceasefire along the so-called Van Mook Line, an artificial line which connected the most advanced Dutch position. The agreement is named after USS Renville, the ship on which the negotiations were held while anchored in Jakarta Bay. Over now to 1946, the UN Security Council holds its first session. The United Nations Security Council, or UNSC, is one of the six principal organs of the United Nations and is charged with the maintenance of international peace and security, as well as accepting new members to the United Nations and approving any changes to its United Nations Charter. Its power include the establishment of peacekeeping operations, the establishment of international sanctions, and the authorization of military action through the Security Council resolutions. It is the only UN body with the authority to issue binding resolutions to member states. The Security Council had its first session on January 17, 1946. It consists of 15 members, the great powers that were the victors of the World War II, Russia, the United Kingdom, France, China, and the United States, serve as the body's 5 permanent members. These permanent members can veto and substantive Security Council resolution, including those on the admission of the new member states or candidates for Secretary General. The Security Council also has 10 non-permanent members elected on a regional basis to serve 2-year terms. The body's presidency rotates monthly among its members. Critics of the Council often describe it as an undemocratic international body and argue it fails its principal task mainly because of the veto power of the permanent members. Last is from 1961. Former Congolese Prime Minister Patrice Lumumba is murdered in circumstances suggesting the support and complicity of the government of Belgium and the United States. Patrice Emery Lumumba was born on July 2, 1925 and died on January 17, 1961, was a Congolese independence leader and the first democratically elected leader of the Congo. As founder and leader of the mainstream movement National Congolese Party, Lumumba played an important role in campaigning for independence from Belgium. Within 12 weeks of Congolese independence in 1960, Lumumba's government was deposed in a coup during the Congo crisis following his attempt to solicit support from the Soviet Union against Katangana secessionists. This led to growing differences with President Joseph Kasavubu and Chief of Staff Joseph Désiré Mobutu, as well as foreign opposition from the United States and Belgium. Lumumba was subsequently imprisoned by state authorities under Mobutu and executed by firing squad under the command of the Katangana authorities. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The Week Spotlight presents Top Issue of the Week.
Hello, listener. This is Highlight of the Week from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with me, Rahma. Listener, this week the world's eyes are on Jakarta after Thursday morning, January 14, suicide bomb attack and shooting attacks between police and attackers on Jalan MH Tamrin Street in central Jakarta. 3 suicide bombs exploded in front of a cafe and police post in Jalan MH Tamrin Street crossroad, central Jakarta. It was followed by a gun battle between the attackers and police. Within an hour since the first incident, the police have controlled situation, and at 3 p.m. local time, situation in the terror attack area has been back to normal. 5 terrorists died in the incident. This terror attack has left 2 civilians, including a Canadian, died, besides 19 civilians, including 4 foreigners from Algeria, Austria, the Netherlands, and Germany are injured. 5 police are also injured when fighting against the terrorists. When police swept buildings around the attack area, they managed to secure 6 bombs that were not exploded yet. Once the situation is safe, the Indonesian President Joko Widodo observed the site of crime and called for people to keep calm and brave. The president also appreciated the swift action of the police in recovering security around Jalan Tamrin. Head of Polda Metro Jaya Jakarta Police Inspector General Tito Karnavian stated, Muhammad Bahrun Naim Anggih Tamtomo, as known as Bahrun Naim, is assumed to be behind the terror attack in Tamrin, central Jakarta last Thursday. Bahrun is linked to the Islamic State of Iraq and Greater Syria or ISIS network in Southeast Asia. Bahrun is an alleged terrorist who was arrested by Densus 88 Counterterrorism Unit in November 2010. After going through punishment, he was released in about June 2012. He has been allegedly in Syria since then. Listener, that ends highlight of the week from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, welcome to Week Interview, featuring several events that happening during this week. Stay tuned. We start from Sunday, January 10th, 2016. Indonesian President Joko Widodo said Indonesia had done its best to catch up on development over the past 1 year in the face of the ASEAN Economic Community, or AEC. President Joko Widodo said, when addressing the opening of the First National Working Meeting of the Indonesian Democratic Party of Struggle, or PDIP, for 2016-2020 in Jakarta on Sunday. President said all member countries shared the same worries on what would happen in the implementation of the AEC. They are afraid of being flooded by Indonesian goods. President Joko Widodo added, Indonesia had made several efforts to catch up on the development in the face of AEC, such as the development of infrastructure, namely seaport and airport. According to President, in 2016, the government was giving attention to the development of the Indonesian eastern region, with multiple amounts of budget compared to that in the previous year. The government hoped to create balance in the development result across the country. On Monday, January 11, 2016, the Investment Coordinating Board BKPM launched a 3-hour investment permit service for big investors on Monday, January 11th. Vice President Yusuf Kalla led the launching ceremony at the board building in Jakarta. The service, part of BKPM's one-stop integrated service PTSP program, is aimed at boosting work-intensive investments. The 3-hour service provides investors with 8 licensing products plus 1 land booking permit. It also provides a special service to big investors who are ready to pay a capital of more than 100 billion rupiah or $8 million. BKPM Chief Franky Sibarani said the service is aimed at making things simpler for investors planning to place their money or expand their businesses in Indonesia. On the same day, Monday, Yandri Susanto from National Mandate Party PAN said that the House of Representatives DPR has agreed to inaugurate Ade Komarudin, a member of the functional group party Golkar, to replace Setia Novanto as Speaker of the House. All factions agree on Ade's inauguration on Monday, January 11th. Meanwhile, a member of the National Democratic Fraction, Johnny Plate, also confirmed that all fractions in DPR supported Ade's appointment. Based on legal considerations, Johnny said that only the Golkar party can nominate Setia's replacement. Based on former principles, Ade's camp Golkar is the one formally accepted by the House. On Tuesday, January 12, 2016, Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno LP Marsudi began her visit the Middle East on Tuesday, January 12, 2016. She brings a letter from the Indonesian President Joko Widodo for the King of Saudi Arabia and the President of Iran. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno LP Marsudi to media at the Foreign Affairs Ministry Office in Jakarta on Tuesday, January 12, 2016, emphasized that Indonesia is neutral country to the conflict between the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia and the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Saya rencananya mudah-mudahan tidak berubah. Sore ini saya akan berangkat.
And once again, I would like to emphasize that Indonesia is a neutral country. We are friends to the countries. So whoever we would visit first, it is only a schedule issue. It depends on the time made available, and there is no other intention because our neutrality that allows us to do that. Retno LP Marsudi explained that besides to deliver the Indonesian President Joko Widodo's letter directly to the leaders of Saudi Arabia and Iran, she will also discuss many things with the foreign ministers of both countries. The Indonesian government has committed to help reduce the tensions between the governments of Saudi Arabia and Iran after the death executions of 47 peoples that carried out by the government of Saudi Arabia, including the famous Syed scholar Nimr al-Nimr, on last January 2, 2016. President Widodo had earlier remarked that he would send a special envoy in response to the conflict and the deteriorating relations between Iran and Saudi Arabia. Still on Tuesday, the Indonesian Ministry of Environment and Forestry will establish a peatland restoration agency for land conservation and fire prevention. Secretary General of the Ministry, Bambang Handoyono, said in Palembang on Tuesday that a similar agency will also be established at the provincial level. He said at the national level, the restoration agency will be coordinated by the Ministry of Environment and Forestry, while at the local level, it will be under the coordination of the governor. According to him, the agency is being set up following a presidential regulation in this regard. Establishment of such an agency to deal with peatland conservation issue is important, considering how difficult could it be to extinguish any potential fire in the peatland. On Wednesday, January 14, 2016, Bank Indonesia, BI, needs to adjust its monetary policy to support the country's economic growth. Indonesian Coordinating Economic Minister Darmin Nasution said that during a monthly meeting held at BI's office on Wednesday, he had talked to central bank officials about the government's effort to boost economic growth. One of the initiatives, he told BI officials, involved the government speeding up budget absorption for infrastructure projects. Minister Darmin said investments to boost the country's economic growth must be supported by monetary policy that could drive more liquidity. Still on Wednesday, Indonesian President Joko Widodo has ordered that the activities of the Nusantara Daybreak Movement Gavatar organization to be monitored. Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung said at the Presidential Palace in Jakarta on Wednesday that the government will seriously cope with the issue of such activities. He said that President Joko Widodo has ordered related state agencies to monitor the activities of the Gavatar organization, which may trigger unrest to the public. Pramono Anung added that he was asked by President Joko Widodo study matters related to Gavatar's activities, including certain ideological ideals, faith, and purposes of this organization. The National Police and the Ministry of Home Affairs are also studying the same. On Thursday, January 14, 2016, in Jakarta, Vice President M. Yusuf Kalla said that the Indonesian State Intelligence Agency BIN and the National Police Polri had issued a warning on the possibility of terror attacks in the period between December 2015 and January 2016. He said the warning was issued to maintain vigil in December and January. Therefore, security was tightened during the Christmas and New Year celebrations. However, Vice President Yusuf Kalla added that the bomb blast that took place on Jalan MH Tamrin in central Jakarta were unexpected. According to Yusuf Kalla, terrorist attacks have also been unexpected, adding that it could only be forecast, but it could not be known where the terrorists will conduct their attacks. A series of explosions took place on Jalan Tamrin around the Sarina Building and the Jakarta Theater starting at 10:50 a.m. local time on Thursday. Still on Thursday, the Secretary General of the Indonesian Ulama's Council, Anwar Abbas, strongly condemned the terror attacks which killed 7 people in Tamrin Boulevard, Central Jakarta on Thursday. According to Anwar, the Indonesian Ulama's Council urged the government to investigate and arrest soon those who are responsible for the attacks, saying that all perpetrators should be punished based on the existing law in Indonesia. Moreover, the Indonesian Ulama's Council urged all sides to not link the bombing with Islam or other religions because religions never condone terrorism. On Friday, January 15, 2016, Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs, Luhut Panjaitan, said that the weapons used in the attacks at Jalan MH Tamrin, Central Jakarta, on Thursday, were supplied from Mindanao, the Philippines. But Minister Luhut said that the police have discovered the explosive used in the attacks were assembled in Jakarta. The government confirmed that the situation following the attacks is currently under control. Minister Luhut reminded people to be aware and careful of future threats and promised that the police will keep pursuing and investigating terrorist groups that have not been caught. Still on Friday, there have been no tourist cancellation to Yogyakarta post-terror attack in Central Jakarta. Secretary of Indonesian Hotel and Restaurant Association for Yogyakarta, Dedi Pranowo Ariano, said on Friday, as quoted by the Jakarta Post, that the impact of the attack was not significant because Jakarta was not the main entry gate for foreign tourists who usually visited Bali prior to exploring other destinations throughout Indonesia. He added that visitors from Europe, Japan, and Australia keep coming to Indonesia throughout January, a month that is usually a less crowded season for foreign tourists compared with October and November. Separately, Garuda Jawa tour and travel owner Edi Prabowo said his company expected to serve some 300 Japanese tourists eager to explore Yogyakarta in January. Listener, that was the Week Interview.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. Rais Karna, 37 years old, an office boy at Bangkok Bank in Central Jakarta, who was among the victims of the terrorist attacks on Jalan MH Tamrin on Thursday, finally died at Abdi Waluyo Hospital on Saturday. Aftermath of the terror and violence in Jakarta recently, Chairman of Muhammadiyah Haidar Nasir to RRI World Service in Jakarta on Sunday said Indonesian Muslims should unite to increase alertness and run activities as usual. Chief of the Indonesian National Police General Badruddin Haiti has asked Director General of Immigration to ban Indonesian nationals or WNI in Syria who are proven to be members of the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, or ISIS, from returning to Indonesia. A piracy suspect has lost her pretrial challenge against her arrest by the Navy's Western Fleet, Armaba. Armaba spokesperson Lieutenant Colonel Ariris told the press the South Jakarta District Court had rejected the pretrial petition filed by Eva Nobensia, who had challenged Armabar's authority to investigate maritime crime. The much-anticipated light rail transit LRT project is in limbo once more after the city administration decided to hold groundbreaking work indefinitely. Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama said after a meeting at the State Palace on the high-speed rail project between Jakarta and Bandung recently, said that he had decided to postpone the project. The weather phenomenon known as La Nina, which usually triggers heavy rains in the country, is expected to start in September this year, according to the Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency, BMKG. That was News in Brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia at en.voi.co.id.
Listener, you are still listening to English Bulletin from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Coming up next, we've got Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Indonesian Wonder, a special program introducing Indonesian tourism, including places of interest, culture and tradition, also Indonesian cuisine. Today, I will invite you to Trikora Beach in Bintan Island. So stay tuned in RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program through www.voi.co.id. Bintan Island, which is located in Riau Islands province, is one of the most visited destinations by foreign tourists, such as from Singapore and Malaysia. This is because of the very close distance from those neighboring countries. The most favorite spot in Bintan Island is Trikora Beach. When first hearing the name Trikora, domestic tourists would immediately associate it with the armed forces, for it is the code name of a military operation in the 60s. But according to local people, there is no association between the name Trikora with the military. As it turns out, Trikora is taken from three coral. But there is also another version that says that there is actually a link between Trikora with the military operation during the administration of Indonesia's first president Sukarno. Bintan Island was once an Indonesian outermost regional defense. Trikora Beach has beautiful scenery and stunning environment that enhance the beauty of Bintan Island. This beach does not have big waves, so it is safe even for children. Among the coast, there are overgrown palm trees and some shady trees. So here you can sit back, enjoy the beautiful scenery while drinking fresh coconut water. In addition, along Trikora Beach scattered many small islands. Here you can snorkel or just playing on the beach. To wander around the beach, you can hire a boat from fishermen. The best time to enjoy Trikora Beach is on weekdays and not on weekend or holiday, because on holidays or weekends, the beach is very crowded with both domestic and foreign tourists. It only takes approximately 1 hour to go to Trikora Beach from Tanjung Pinang, which is the capital of Riau Islands. The 25-kilometer stretch sandy beaches is located in the village of Malang Rapat Gunung Kijang, Bintan Island, Riau Islands province. When you've arrived at Trikora Beach, for more comfort, you can find and stay in one of the hotels where usually a package to rent a boat including lunch is available. You can also rent equipment for snorkeling. At night, you can enjoy seafood, which is widely available in coastal areas. The price is rather expensive because the seafood here is of good quality. Some even say that seafood from Bintan is so good that it is being exported to Singapore and Malaysia. The specialty in Trikora Beach is gonggong, a kind of sea snails from East Bintan. Gonggong is bigger than other sea slugs and has a taste similar to squid. It is usually boiled and enjoyed with peanut sauce. Well, that was Indonesian Wonder today featuring Trikora Beach in Riau Islands province. Until tomorrow with other interesting topic. Bye now.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, custom and tradition, technology and environment, even lifestyle. Today's edition will be discussing eco-friendly bio polybag. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this broadcast through www.voi.co.id. hyacinths or water hyacinths, Acornia crassipe, is a type of aquatic plants. Water hyacinth has a high growth rate and is considered as a weed plant that can damage the aquatic environment. This plant is even easily spread through waterways. Students of the Faculty of Agriculture, University of Pajajaran in Bandung, West Java, made some innovation by exploiting these weed plants into useful objects. The team consists of Supriyadi Siregar, Gugun Kunawan, and Margareta Marpaung made biopoly bag from extracts of water hyacinths, providing a solution to the problem of plastic waste in the agricultural sector. The process of making environmentally friendly biopoly bag is quite easy. Supriyadi said they started with 0.5 kilograms of water hyacinth extract using a blender. The pulp then was mixed with water and then filtered. The waste is then squeezed again until all liquid was collected. Extracts of water hyacinth is then mixed with 6 other chemicals commonly used in the manufacture of biopoly bag with a special dose. Water hyacinth is used to replace polyethylene, the main ingredients of plastic bags, in order the biopoly bag could be broken down by bacteria in soil and water. All concoction was then put on a tray, then allowed to stand overnight at room temperature. This process is carried out in the Laboratory of Soil Science, Faculty of Agriculture, University of Pajajaran in Bandung. Once dry, the biopoly bag seed was tested on the ground and soaked in tap water and river water. Within 9 to 12 weeks, the biopoly bag was biodegradable. From the results of research and experiments, according to Supriyadi, the biopoly bag can be directly planted in the ground after the nursery as it will be destroyed by the bacteria without interfering with plant growth. So far, when using plastic poly bag, it had to be torn to facilitate the removal of soil and plants and produce plastic waste. Supriyadi and his team hope the industry and the government use biopoly bag to reduce the amount of plastic waste in Indonesia. Well, that was Miscellany Today, which informed you about eco-friendly biopoly bag.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we'll also play some Indonesian music. Well, listener, we would like to thank you, our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Well, now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Francisco Calvo Garcia in Spain. In his email, Mr. Francisco Galfo Garcia said that he listened to our broadcast in Spanish through shortwave 9525 kHz and also sometimes through website www.voi.co.id. Hello, Mr. Francisco. Thank you for your email dated January 10, 2016. We also thank you for your attention and appreciation on our broadcast. We inform you that in addition to Spanish, Voice of Indonesia also broadcasts in 7 languages, namely English, Mandarin, German, French, Arabic, Japanese, as well as Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language. And if you miss one of your favorite segments, you just click our website. Well, Mr. Francisco Calvo Garcia, keep listening to our broadcast and please don't forget to send your reception report. Thank you. And special for you and also for our regular listeners, we will play a beautiful song. Enjoy the song. ¶¶ Listener, now we will reply an email from Khalid Abbas in Pakistan. We have received his email through Facebook fan page. In his email, Mr. Khalid Abbas said that he was listening to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, and he said that it is a great pleasure that Voice of Indonesia has taken action, and now he can listen to Voice of Indonesia live streaming because last day streaming was out of order, and that he was disabled to listen to his lovely Voice of Indonesia station. Hello, Mr. Khalid Abbas, how are you? As we know that Khalid Abbas is one of our regular listeners. We are really sorry for your inconvenience because several days ago we had technical problem. And we are really grateful that you have been patient to still keep listening to our broadcast until we can broadcast again as usual. Well, Mr. Khalid Abbas, we are waiting for your next email and reception report. Thank you very much. And we will play a beautiful song special for you. Happy listening.
Mengapa kau selalu menyakitiku, selalu saja menyalahkan aku. Di mana cintamu yang dahulu berjanji untuk selalu menjagaku, tapi kini semua berbeda sayangku, kau tak lagi ada waktu untukku, kau selalu dengan dirimu sayangku, kau selalu dengan duniamu. Dahulu kau selalu menjagaku, selalu perhatikanku, dan dahulu kau selalu membanggakanku, dahulu kau selalu ada untukku, tapi kini semua dengan dirimu sayang.
listener, you are still listening to Listener's Mailbag broadcast every Sunday, and we continue to reply an email from Azam Ali Somro in Pakistan. In his email, Azam Ali Somro said that he was listening to our program related with information about West Sumatra, and he enjoys getting closer and familiar towards Indonesia and all its fascinating aspects with Voice of Indonesia as always. Hello, Mr. Azam Ali Somro. Thank you for your attention and appreciation on our broadcast. And we hope you always enjoy our presentation. And as our appreciation, we'll play a beautiful song. Let's check it out. Listener, those are our emails, and actually we have received many emails, but unfortunately we have to sign off now. We want to say thank you to listeners who have liked and visited our official Facebook fan pages. We have Amir Manzur, Riaz Ahmad Khan, Sazat Sabir, Amir Jamil from Pakistan. We also have Mitul Kansal, Avijit Jawarhal Almeida, Siddhartha Bhattacharya, and Sri Bahwan Sharma from India. We have Vicentiu George from Romania. We have Kevin Chow from China. Raf Ulbanzik from Germany. And also we have Jahangir Alamanto in Bangladesh and also many others. Thank you for visiting our Facebook fan pages and being our regular listeners. Well, listener, we appreciate your reception reports on our broadcast. And please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, PO Box 1157. Jakarta 10110 Indonesia. I'll repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110 Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to info@voi.co.id. info@voi.co.id. Or to english@voi.co.id. english@voi.co.id. Don't forget to visit and like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and also The Voice of Indonesia. Or you can also follow our Twitter @VoiIndonesia. You can also join our Instagram, Voice_of_Indonesia. Voice_of_Indonesia. Well, listener, to conclude our listeners' mailbag for this week, we will play another Indonesian beautiful song. I'm Ania Sana. Thank you for listening, and we'll meet again next week in listeners' mailbag. Bye-bye.
Betapa remuk jantungku, kau tipu aku, kau tipu aku. Betapa sakit hatiku, kau buang aku, kau buang aku.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.